Welcome to the Truth and Love Podcast with Pastor Nate and Jen Morris. We are excited to be back with you today, having a good discussion. And before we get to that, though, I just want to do a couple things. One, I want to remind you, if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe button or the like button. That will make sure that these end up in your inbox whenever you are updating your podcast for the day. So we'd love for you to keep getting the content and just click that subscribe button. That'll make sure you get it. You can also share it with friends or family that may be encouraged by our discussion. So today we are going to do a book review, and we're going to talk about the upcoming book of the month for Mountain Life Calvary Chapel, which is called the book. It's the book With by Sky Jatani. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I also know many of you know about my recent bike accident and kind of the fallout of all of that. And just thought I'd give you just a quick little update on where I'm at and how I'm doing. So I'm about halfway through the initial recovery stage. So it's about, I have to wear these braces for 12 weeks. If you could see me right now, you'd see I'm pretty stiff at the moment. I've got a body brace on and then a neck brace on. And this week, as I'm recording this, is 6 weeks into wearing those. So I've got six more weeks and I'm doing some physical therapy. And then after that additional 6 weeks, I'll probably have to do some additional physical therapy, but moving along through it. So we've somewhat adjusted to what life looks like for the time being, which is me being very limited and Jen having to take a lot more stuff on. Just thank you all for your thoughts, your prayers, your encouragement, your texts, meals, all the different things that everybody's done for us, helping with lawn work. There's just been a ton of ways that Mountain Life has really reached out and helped us out during this season. So thank you so much for that. Anything you would add to that, Jen?
No, I don't think so.
Give a good update. Okay.
That's a good update. Good job.
Okay. Thanks. Jen has been the chauffeur extraordinaire in this season, as we've got lots of kid activities. We got three kids and they all have at least one thing going on. And then anytime I need a ride anywhere, I have to get a ride. So she's been driving a lot. So Keep Jen in your prayers that she can stand the shuttling and the driving and all of those things for the next 6 weeks. So with that, though, today we are going to discuss this upcoming book of the month by Sky Jatani. And I'll just give you the spelling for that, because you're going to be like, what is that? How do you spell that? So it's Sky is S-K-Y-E and Jatani is J-E-T-H-A-N-I, Sky Jatani. And so this is a great book, but we'll get to that in just a minute.
Yes, this book, this upcoming book of the month, whether you're part of Mountain Life or not part of Mountain Life, we just want to share with you a little bit about this book today, because it's just a really good one. Nate and I have both read a lot of books over the years. He reads more than I do, but we've both read a lot. And most books, to be honest, it's one time and done. And we don't revisit a book, but this is a book that both of us have revisited. I've read it twice. Have you read it twice or more?
Yeah, I've read it. I'm trying to think. I know I've read it at least twice. Read it three times. One of them for sure was on Audible, which is how I kind of consume a lot of my books, is listening on Audible. But it's two or three times.
So. Kind of high compliments to this book that we've both read it a couple times, at least compliment from us that it's a good one. And it's even a good one. It's a good one, I would say, even to share with friends that maybe are not walking in relationship with the Lord right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone who you know that grew up in the church and has just walked away because they found it to be empty. Or someone just really wrestling with their faith and how this idea of a relationship with God just didn't really work out for them. I just think this book really, when I read it the first time, wow, I just was so taken back by how he was able to put into words so many of the thoughts and the concerns that and the real struggle that so many people have shared with me over my life, you know, just people just sharing where they're at. This book really, really dove into some of those questions and issues.
Yeah, I think it's good in a lot of ways. It's really, the book is really about your personal relationship with the Lord. And I think it really helps us have some really good assessment tools to kind of figure that out. And so I highly recommend it for that. But I think as you read it, it might also address some of your questions or even frustrations with how you see other, the church as a whole, or the American church, or even other believers, and how they relate to the Lord, and might give you some empathy for them, but also some insight into why people might be viewing things the way that they do, rather than walking in the freedom that comes in Christ. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. But as Jen and I both said, really, we both really liked this book, really thought it was worth reading enough to read it more than once, and good enough to share with you guys. So there are a few books like that. There are books that I go back to over and over again, and we'll talk about some of those other ones as they become our topic of review. But this is definitely one of those. I'll probably read this one every few years just to kind of remind myself of the truths that I think it really contains. And so highly, highly recommended. Now, he kind of breaks this book down with the idea of these five postures that we have towards God as people, five ways that people relate to God. And so he goes through the book, and his kind of analysis is of these four ways that are unhealthy, not productive, not helpful ways to relate to God if they are our primary way. And then he gets into the fifth one that he believes is the method that we are to use to relate to God. And so we're going to break these down. We're going to talk about them just for a little bit, but we're not going to give you everything out of the book because we want you to read it. It's really encouraging and powerful, I believe, for you to dig into this yourself. And so there's four different ways that he kind of picks apart as ways that we improperly relate to God as it comes to the orientation of our life. Now, some of these are things that we just naturally do in our relationship with God, and they can be part of that. But if they are our primary way of relating to God, then they're wrong and even sinful if that's the way that we're doing it. And so we'll break those down here in a little bit.
These ways of relating that Nate's referring to are maybe ways that we might think about what we can or should expect from God and what he does expect from us. And so these four different ways, you know, honestly, every time I like try to list off the four improper ways of relating that this author explains, I get the words a little bit all jumbled up in my head, but the ideas, each of the ideas, rather than their titles, the titles jumble up, but the ideas themselves are just rich. So as Nate, I'm sure you're about to share all of that information. Just for any of you that feel all jumbled up, I'm there with you, but bear with us.
Yeah, totally. Thankfully, I have them written down.
That's so good.
That's helpful. Okay, so we're going to break down these four ways that we can tend to relate to God that are not the way that God has intended for us to relate to him. The first one is life from God. Okay, and so life from God. The second one is life over God. The third one is life for God, and the fourth one is life under God, okay? So we're going to break these down just to give you a little bit more insight into what they look like and how this works, but those are the four postures that we can take towards God. So let's look at life from God, for example. Now, he uses a book, an example in the book of a man named Joel, and Joel was a businessman, and he tried to use God to bless his business. Really what his goal was to receive things from God. And so for him, he would, his Christianity was very much based around achieving success and wealth and health and accomplishing good things in life. And so that life from God, that he wanted all of the things from God, but not necessarily God himself. What do you think about that posture, Jen? As you've gone through the book with that and as you've thought about it, what are some ways that we can tend to want life from God?
Well, I think it's really common, honestly. This may not be your primary or my primary, any person's primary way of relating, but it really sneaks in to a lot of our hearts in a way. Because if you think about it, as we've talked about prayer on this podcast in the past, we talk about praying for His will.
Yeah.
But in reality, a lot of times, many of our prayers are more oriented towards, you know, praying for blessing, for the things that we will. And
right.
And so I think that this posture of relating to God in that way is actually really common. And not that desiring God to bless your life is a bad thing. But if you believe that your relationship with God in total is meant to result in you being physically blessed with success, however you determine that, then we might be missing the relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the idea that he has with this, and this one actually kind of goes hand in hand with another one we'll talk about in a minute. But I think the idea that what we have a relationship with God for is getting things for ourselves is a very popular one in our culture. And, you know, it's all about blessings and your best life and really looking for all of the external things that we can receive. And when God's not bringing those, we feel like something's wrong.
Maybe we've made a mistake.
Yeah. Like we've made a mistake or, God's not good or, you know, those types of things come to mind. And the idea is what we're looking for is something other than God himself. And I think that, you know, we can kind of criticize that position, but I think we all fall into that at times. It's mm-hmm. like, well, why didn't I get that promotion at work? Or why didn't this happen? You know, and so we start to think about life from God as being our goal. We are looking for God to bless us, to provide for us, to guide us, to give us something.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the position that there's a line in that book that says we think of like the Jesus CEO. Do it. Jesus is do it like a do things, run your business in a biblical manner.
That's actually the next one, but you're very close.
See, guys, I told you I'd get all mixed up.
No, it's okay. It's all good. I think mixing them up is fine because what our heart is really is to understand the concepts behind it, that we're missing God's heart for us. So that's life from God. The next one is life over God. Okay. And this one, he gives an example of a man named Mark, who was a savvy pastor who was focused on organizational principles and making sure he had everything in line and followed the biblical principles, but he really viewed those more as a method for success, achieving success. If you do A, B, and C, then the outcome will be this. And so he didn't have much room in his ministry or his life for prayer or for God really at all, which is kind of funny if you think about it, a pastor not having room in his ministry for God, but it's easy to fall back kind of on our own mm-hmm. devices at times.
No matter who you are.
Yeah. And this posture is really all about proven formulas and controllable outcomes. Those are kind of the two things he highlights mm-hmm. where if I just do A plus B plus C, then this will happen. You know, it's like the mm-hmm. formula for success or the formula to achieve things. And this is probably a trap for some of us type A people mm-hmm. that are very driven to do, you know, and to accomplish. And we want to follow the easy steps to get there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really begins to hit on one of the themes of this book is talking about how different humans find different ways of trying to grab control.
Yeah.
And man, I relate to that.
Yeah,
totally. I'm a recovering control addict. Yeah. But, you know, these different approaches or unhealthy ways of relating to God really reveal what we're trying to control. And sometimes that also sheds light on what our biggest fears are.
Yeah.
And what we value the most. It's just one of those discussions where it just pulls a layer off. And it's like, oh, that's, you know, if you really take a minute to consider how you relate to these different types of these different descriptions, I think the Holy Spirit can bring some beautiful growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this life over God posture is kind of how you might relate this to the Sadducees in the Old Testament. If we just do these things in this way, the natural principles of life will kind of work themselves out. And it's a very materialistic mindset. And I think a lot of people can fall into that way. And I don't mean materialistic in terms of wanting things, but in terms of if you want to see X happen, you do these three things, you know,
equations.
Yeah. And that can, he uses the example of a pastor falling into this, I think on purpose, because it's not just the non-spiritual people who become very focused on proven formulas and controllable outcomes. Sometimes we, even in ministry, can be focused on that. And it's like, I want to grow a big church, and so I need to do these three things, and then we'll get there.
Well, and even our Christian culture can promote that. I think of ideas around silly things about marriage that are said in Christian culture, mm-hmm. about like habits you need to have in your marriage, ways that it must function, that are far beyond things that it's talked about in the Bible. This is just, I'm just referring to things that just are preferential in certain marriages. But people say, if you do this, then you're going to have a marriage that lasts. Or with your kids, if you do these four things, then your children will love Jesus all their life.
Yeah.
And man, that sounds so appealing.
It is appealing. Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. But the Lord is God.
Yeah.
And He wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate people sharing wisdom about what has worked for them, the way God has led them. But we should not reduce God to an equation.
Yeah. You made a really good point when you mentioned books and things. I think that this is, it's funny because we're recommending books, right? That's what we're talking about,
it's
is books.
True.
But there are certain, I've definitely seen it in Christian circles where it's like, you got to read this book. Oh, you got to check out this book, and this will really like change your life. And it's like, you got to be really careful about that. It's like, okay, the five love languages, that's going to revolutionize your marriage. Every season there's a new one that kind of comes out and everybody bandwagons on it as if this new idea will change everything for us. And we already know what's going to change everything. Mm-hmm. It's that relationship with the Lord that's deep and abiding and like bigger than the hype, you know?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
I think that's life over God. I think that's a good way to maybe put that into perspective for a lot of us is, am I looking to somebody or something to tell me how I can accomplish what I'm looking to accomplish? And really what I'm looking for is this controlled outcome, more than that relationship, the life-giving relationship with God. Okay, the third one is life for God. Now, to be honest, this one is one that I can tend to struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one that sounds really holy.
Yeah.
And sounds really good.
Life for God, right?
Yeah.
Don't we all want to live for God?
This one is not so much about achieving success or achieving blessing. It's more about living for God, and that the most significant thing in life is spending your life accomplishing great things in God's service.
Mm-hmm.
He uses an example of a woman named Rebecca that felt that her life didn't have meaning unless she abandoned her career and her passion for a life of vocational ministry truly being in ministry or the mission field or something like that. And, mm-hmm. This is definitely one that I have had to battle off and on in my life because ever since I was in high school, I wanted to serve the Lord in some capacity. I didn't want to be a pastor, but I wanted to be in ministry. I wanted to make a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to live my life for God. I wanted to be a missionary at one point. You know, I wanted to be a Christian musician at one point. Being in ministry now, it's like, yeah, let's do this for God at times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, I think this one is very tempting, especially I feel like when I was younger, when I was 18 to 21, man, this just felt like, you know, all of the kids who really loved Jesus went to Bible college. Why was I studying business at CU Denver? Like, I must not be as holy as they are.
Yeah.
Something that I really had to battle through at a young age, figuring that out and learning and discovering the great plans that God had for my life. Right where He had called me, right where He had settled me, right where He was calling me to put down roots rather than you know, moving overseas and
right.
making a difference.
Yeah, totally. I think you're right. I think it's when we're younger in life that we really, a lot of us really feel that pull, that drive where it's like, I got to do something big. I got to, you know, make a difference for the Lord. And here's the thing, when you hear that, it doesn't sound wrong, and it's not wrong to want to serve the Lord and to honor God. But when that is the most significant thing that we can do with our life, we're actually missing it. We're missing the relationship with God that we'll get to in a minute.
Right. The prize is not doing something for God. The prize is God himself.
Yeah. And I think that's the same thing in all of these. So often the prize that we're looking for in our life is something other than God. Mm-hmm. And that's why we find it empty when we get down that road. And so you can spend a whole life for God, serving him, mm-hmm. and find yourself empty because you didn't really ever go deep in your relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying that person isn't saved. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
That person put their faith in Jesus and their desire is to serve him. Absolutely. But they might've missed out on what was really meaningful and impactful and important mm-hmm. for them because they poured all of their effort into achieving, you know?
Yeah.
So the prize wasn't God himself.
Right. And I don't think any of these postures are about salvation.
No,
or not
at all. Yeah.
This is referring to the believer, the one who has put their faith in Jesus to be their savior.
Yeah. The last of the inappropriate postures towards God is life under God. And I think we all can fall into this one at times, but I actually think that this is one that's often celebrated in American culture is life under God. The idea of life under God is that if we will do all of our things God's way, if we will live our life under God's commands, if we'll obey him, if we'll, as individuals and as even as a nation, if we can just have godly principles in place, then God will bless us and take care of us. And this, I understand this because at times we think that because there are certain principles to life. It's like, if you reap what you sow, right? We know that there's a biblical valid truth to that. Mm-hmm. If you do things in a way that honors the Lord, there are going to be blessings to that, but that cannot and is not the goal. The blessing, again, it's so subtle and it's so easy to miss it, but the blessing becomes the goal. Mm-hmm. And so he used this story of a lady named Karen who sought to raise her son by the book, by the Bible. And so she thought she did all the things, you know, the way that God would have her do them by obeying his commands. And that if she did that, that he would bless her life and her situation. And ultimately found out in the end that she didn't receive the blessing she expected and was disillusioned. And, you know, he actually quotes a story of a football player, I can't remember the guy's name, who was always just giving God glory after football games and things, this NFL guy who was, you know, always, you know, would point up to the sky and saying, you know, thank my Lord and Savior. And then he had this one game that was a big game. I think it was a playoff game, and he blew it big time in the game. And after the game, he went on Twitter and posted, I devote my life to serving you, to giving you glory after every game, to doing all these things for you. And that's how you do me. I'm done, God.
Woo.
Right? Like, wait a second. He had an expectation that if he did things God's way, that God would then give him what he wanted.
Right. Well, and I think we can hear that and everybody might like lean back in their seat and be like, whoa, you know, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
But I think there are times that some disappointment creeps into our hearts mm-hmm. and we are truly feeling a bit disillusioned by our life, by mm-hmm. the things that have happened or the things that have not happened that we just grew up imagining would just come. You know, honestly, I think of back when we were younger, there was a big thing called purity culture. And a lot of people might remember that. And purity culture basically promised that if you saved yourself sexually for marriage, that you would basically be guaranteed a fantastic marriage. And, you know, we are absolutely to save ourselves for marriage sexually. I 100%, that is biblical, but it does not guarantee, and God gives no guarantee of a fantastic marriage.
I think that's a good example of what this is. It's like, if you just do this, then God will do that. And that's putting God in a box. And that's actually, the scriptures have told us that's not what's going to happen. You know, Jesus said that if we follow him, we will have many trials and troubles in this life. It's not if we follow him, he will make our way smooth and everything will be great. You know, that's not it.
Right. Now we know, just continuing this thought out, we know that, you know, if you do save yourself for marriage and you do things God's way in your life, man, he knows the right way. He's the one that created our hearts. He knows what we were designed for. And so as we do walk in his path, there will be blessings along the way, but we should not extend those thoughts to be promises of things he has not promised.
Yeah. And I think it extends to, there is a theology in Christian circles. It's called dominion theology. It's infiltrated public life pretty heavily because it makes some of these types of promises, really. And what dominion theology teaches is, if we do things God's way in our country, really, and we get, they have this, that's like the seven mountains mandate. If we can just, as Christians, take control of these seven different spheres of influence in our culture, I'm not going to get into that right now, it's another study, then God will bless our nation and then we will be a prosperous and happy nation. And a lot of people have latched onto this, not even knowing this, that this is a heretical false teaching. But it's like, yeah, we got to do things God's way. We got to get the Ten Commandments back in the courthouses and prayer back in schools. Now, I'm not saying that those things would be bad.
Those would be amazing.
Don't get me wrong. But the problem is, it's like, let's say, I mean, it's what, one nation under God, right? That's kind of it's interesting, the wording, you know, but you know, we think about, okay, we're under God. As long as we do things God's way, then things are going to work out. But it was never about doing things God's way. Mm-hmm. That was the Pharisees. The Pharisees did things the right way and they missed Jesus 100%. Mm-hmm. They totally missed him.
And that's the final way of relating to God that this book talks about is having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that is entirely different than these ways of relating to God that we've, you know, discussed prior to now. A relationship with God has God as the focus. God is the prize. God is your heart's desire. Now, I went through this book with a couple girls, a couple friends, and I kind of came up with this way of trying to picture it, is that if you picture like a quadrant, like an X and Y axis, if you've been in school recently, and in each of the four quadrants, there's a different improper way of relating to God. And if you find yourself far out into one of those quadrants, you can know that the Lord has something better for you. But as you go in closer and closer to the center where the X and the Y axis meet, you know, we're going to dabble in each of these different ideas at times. And they're all biblical in some way, each of these improper ways, there's some biblical support for them. But if you're going off the deep end with one of these, then I think you might be missing the relationship with God.
Yeah. And that's really his whole point of this book. The name of the book is With, and it's life with God. And he goes through from Genesis to Revelation and shows us in the book how God's intent was for us to be in a perfect union and close-knit relationship with him. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, when God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. They were there together with God. And then you see in John 1, as Jesus, you know, comes into the picture, and in the last chapters of Revelation, ultimately God is with his people. And the whole purpose of our salvation is us being with God. You weren't actually saved so that you could go to heaven, because heaven without God wouldn't be heaven. You know, it's not about not going to hell. That's not the intent. The intent is to have relationship with God. That's what we were created for. Mm-hmm. And when our posture towards God is looking to be with him, to dwell in his presence, to rest in that deep, meaningful, satisfying relationship with the living God, then we realize when things get hard in life and we don't get the things we want, well, it's okay. That's not what I needed anyways. God's got a plan and I'm experiencing his goodness even in the midst of loss or in the midst of not having the things that I would hope that I would have go on. And I think to Jen's point before, like, yes, there are certainly, you know, biblical truths to, you know, you reap what you sow. If you do things certain ways, there are likely to be certain outcomes, more likely. Yep.
We should be on mission.
Yeah, we should be on mission. We should do things to serve the Lord out of our heart of serving the Lord. But when those things become our focus, or when they steal our focus from our relationship with God, we're missing it. And when our relationship with God is in focus, those other things kind of naturally flow out of that is the thing. So back to the purity culture. If your focus is on, I'm going to not have sex until I get married. And this is what happened in that. And Jen and I were in that age group. I graduated high school in 2000. And that was like, I Kissed Dating Goodbye was like the number one bestseller right then. Right. Mm-hmm. And if I save myself for marriage, then everything's going to be good. And I'm gonna have a great relationship and my sex life's going to be the best. And, the problem with that was that then people were just like, well, I'm just going to get married the first person that I like, you know, that wasn't us, but that was a lot of people, you know, I'm going to marry the first person I like. And then God's going to bless that because I saved myself for marriage. And then you had a lot of ugly relationships that weren't good. And a lot of brokenness that came out of that when people were dissatisfied or disillusioned. But then on the flip side of that, if your goal and your heart is relationship with God, you're going to want to honor God with your life, not because you're looking for something good on the other side of it, but because you love him and you've experienced his goodness and his love. And when you walk in that, you're going to want to honor him with your sexuality. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to honor that other person with your sexuality. And so you're going to do things God's way because of your love for him, but not because you want a good outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any final thoughts on the book, Jen?
Well, I guess I was just sitting here thinking, man, we've probably poked the bear in a lot of different ways, because if I was being, you know, trying to be a little argumentative, I could say, oh, but, you know, the word says this and the word says that and all these things that we've talked about as being negative ways of relating, but they're good. And I just want to say, yeah, they are good, but they are not what God intended us for. He made us to walk and talk with him in the garden. And so if you have some thoughts, I encourage you to read the book and then come talk with us. Let us know what you think. We would be so delighted to make this a conversation here to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Because we all grow that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if we did kind of stir up some thoughts in you, that's great, because that'll give you the motivation to go read the book and see what you think. So, but thank you for listening in, and thank you for sharing your time with us. We hope that you're encouraged by reading the book. And if you don't read it, maybe even took a couple things from our conversation today. But know this, that God's desire is for you and his heart is for you. And he does bless his kids because he loves his kids, but it really doesn't have anything to do with our performance or our keeping the right formulas or our doing the right things. It's because he's a good father who gives good gifts to his kids and loves them. And he is with you. And really the question is, will we orient ourselves to be with him? Mm-hmm. So. All right. Thanks for listening in. Have a great day. We will be back with another episode soon. Next time's not going to be a book review. We might have some discussion that I'm really looking forward to. So we'll have to just wait for that. All right. God bless you guys.